Welcome to the Thrive Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Molly Kiefer. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit thrivevineyard.com.
All right, let's pray before we dive into the Word. Lord, I just thank you so much for your presence here. I thank you that you are such a good teacher. You're such a good teacher, Holy Spirit. You know how to open up the Word and fill up our lives, that we don't ever leave here empty-handed. And so we welcome all the things that you want to do in our hearts and minds and spirits right now. Lord, I just willingly want to get out of the way and say, come and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So when I was in my fifth grade summer, I was invited, my sisters and I were invited to join a friend's family vacation. And we were taken to Door County, Wisconsin with some family friends, and they rented a house basically right on Lake Michigan. You go out the back door and down this like trail, and there was Lake Michigan. And one day on this vacation, we were having a beach day, and it was like this awesome sunny summer day. And there on the shore was like this blow-up boat and an oar. And I decided I am going to take the blow-up boat out on a little sail today with the one yellow plastic oar. And so I got out on the water. I set out. This is basically me on Lake Michigan. Just having a great time, having a day, and I was paddling out, enjoying the beauty around me, and I thought, wow, this is really easy. Like, I don't really even know how to use an oar or a paddle, but I'm moving, and it's really not that hard to make some ground up really fast. And I am just moving out there, and I'm headed out, and all of a sudden I kind of decided, like, let me just turn around and get my bearings and see where I'm at. I look back at shore, and I realize, like, I am way out there. Like, I'm terrible at geography. What's north of Lake Michigan? Canada? Alaska? I don't know. Like, I'm almost to Canada at this point, right? I look back, I'm like, whoa, they are way back there. I should turn around. So I take my one oar and I attempt to turn around and paddle back to shore. And all of a sudden I realize there is wind. There has been a wind at my back that has pushed me out on this little adventure. And I have my one oar that, again, I don't really even know how to use it. And I realize I'm just going in circles here. In fact, I don't even know if I'm going in circles. I think I'm actually getting farther away from the shore. And so I'm here, and now I'm here. I am like, in my mind, I have gone to, this is the end. This is how I am going to die. And I am like, panic is rising in me. I am thinking, I will never make it back to shore. I don't even know. I can see them like so far away. I don't even know if they remember me. Like, do they know I'm out here? I remember we had gone to the little in-town store before this. Do you guys remember Fruity Stripes? Anyone else alive? In the A, Fruity Stripes gum? It was like the best gum. It was like the zebra fruity gum flavor. I'm like, they're probably on shore like trading Fruity Stripes gum pieces, and nobody even knows I'm out here. No one's worried about me. And I literally was in this all-out panic. How am I ever going to make it back? And so I start yelling at the top of my lungs, screaming. I remember, like, it was help over and over again. Just help, help, help. I was screaming help, and I had my little yellow oar, and I remember waving it, like trying to be noticed out here, way out in Lake Michigan. And eventually I could see some movement on the shoreline, and I saw this young man in a boat with two oars coming out to save me. And he was like, he got closer and closer. And I remember thinking, he's so strong. He's amazing. He's tan. He had like the perfect sun in tips in his hair. And that's how I met Kevin. I remember in that moment, I was like, Oh, it was the greatest moment of my life. I loved this man. I had been rescued. I had been saved. And I wonder if you ever find yourself at a point in life where you need backup, where you need backup, that you found yourself in a state like this where you just think, how am I ever, I am out to sea in life, and how am I ever going to get back to safety, back to a normal life, how life could be, how life should be. Sometimes the right backup is a matter of life and death. And what I want to do today is I just want to look at two biblical scriptures that show us how, what backup looks like and the impact that the right backup can have on our lives. So we're going to dig into the scripture. In front of you are Bibles in the chairs underneath you. I'd encourage you to get that Bible so you can see it if you don't have your own. And then everyone should have two pieces of paper, little papers. If you don't, there's also paper, pads of paper in front of you. Just get that. That works. And there's pens in front of you. We're going to dive into the scripture, and we are going to start with the backup story in Acts 12, and this is Peter's story in Acts 12, and here is the context for this moment. So Acts is all about the chapter after Jesus has died and he's risen to life. It is the story of the first church, the early church, and in this moment in history, King Herod is ruling, he's in charge, and he is opposed to the church. He hates the church. And in fact, he has just ordered that James, who's John's brother, the son of thunder, remember him, be killed. And so James has just been executed. He is the first martyr. And that has, imagine, like you're a part of this church of like Jesus followers, and you were in it for the gospel, to carry the gospel, and one of your own was just murdered because he was a Jesus follower too. And so this sent shockwaves, I'm sure, through the little church community as they're getting going. Like, this is serious. This is real. Our lives are in real danger for following Jesus. And while one group is in grief and loss, we see that the Jews actually are celebrating this moment. They were like, yes, King Herod. And King Herod rides this wave of popular opinion, and he has Peter arrested because he wants the Jews' favor. He has Peter arrested, and here's what we read in verse 4. After the arrest, Herod, put him in prison and assigned four squads of four soldiers each to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison. So here we see Peter is in prison, and I love the details here. We see that there are four guards, 16. There are 16 guards around Peter in this moment. He is chained down. He is in prison. He isn't going anywhere, right? Like, the king himself has ordered this arrest. The highest authority in the land has spoken the word. And in this day, there was no, hey, we're going to get a really good team of lawyers around you, Peter. Like, he's not awaiting a trial. We're not waiting to see if the king will change his mind. No, this is a done deal. He is chained to guards. He's at the mercy of this cruel king. Nothing can be done. Nothing can be done. Or is there? Hold on. Peter has an ace in his pocket. It may have looked like it was the end for Peter, but Peter wasn't alone. Peter is a card-carrying member of the most powerful organization on the earth at this time. Believe it or not, he just happens to be a part of this specialized team of operatives. And this team outranks the king of the land in this day. Peter goes to church. Peter goes to church. This is what it says in verse 5. Peter is kept in prison, but prayer was being made earnestly to God for him by the church. This is what's happening. Because Peter belongs to the church, there is something happening beyond his prison cell. While Peter is in prison cell, the church is still churching, isn't it? While Peter is chained, the church isn't chained. It is 100% free. While Peter is without options, the church isn't without options. While Peter can do nothing, the church gets to work functioning as the church does. The church is praying earnestly to God for Peter. And so the story goes on. It's the 11th hour for Peter. Look at this. On the night before Herod was to bring him out for execution, the night before. Hold on, just make sure we're getting the details here. Peter was sleeping. He was sleeping, and he was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains while the sentries in the front of the door guarded the prison. So here he is, and the whole point, I think, that we're trying to get to here is this is serious. He is on lockdown, and it's the night before his execution. Can you imagine the night before your execution? He's sleeping. He's sleeping. Like, has he completely given up? I don't know. There's nothing left to do but sleep. And so here's what happened. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. Striking Peter on the side, he woke him up and said, get up. Then the chains fell off his wrists. Get dressed, the angel told him, and put your sandals on. And he did so. Wrap your cloak around you. And he told him, follow me. This whole story is hilarious to me because Peter is in, like, I guess, the deepest of sleep because an angel appears with this light and the angel has to wake him up. Like, if Kevin is sleeping next to me in the middle of the night, in the bed, and his phone is on the far side, right? And if Kevin has his phone placed up and an alert pops up on his phone, I'm up, like, good morning, it's 3 o'clock, what are we gonna do today, right? Like, but this angel is in the cell with this light and has to hit him, wake up, dummy, you know? Like, I think it's hilarious. And then the angel, I love this, is like, get dressed. Peter, get your, put your shoes on, get your coat. Like, it's like a toddler, you know, getting a toddler out to preschool, right? But okay, and so gets dressed. Okay, so he went out, this is verse 8. He went out and followed, and this is Peter. He did not know what took place through the angel. He didn't know that it was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. After they passed the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened to them by itself. They went outside and passed one street, and immediately the angel left him. Okay, so here is Peter. There's so many layers to impossible here. Do you see this? Like, sleeping guards, you're chained to sleeping guards, and they don't wake up? They don't wake up with all this getting dressed activity and angels shining light activity, right? Like, and then the chains have to come off the layers of guards, and then you have to get out the prison door, and then there's the city gates. Like, there's so many crazy layers to this story that Peter himself, who is living this out, is like, this is not real. The only thing, the only category for this is it must be a dream. I'm having a dream. This is a vision. That's the only category he can put it in. He himself can't be. It cannot be that this is actually happening. So Peter, now that he's free, the angel leaves and he realizes, like, this is really happening to me. It says that he goes to Mary's house. This is how the story says. He goes to Mary's house, and at Mary's house, the church is gathering. And what is the church doing? Praying. So he ends up at the house, and here's what happens. He knocked at the door in the gateway, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer. She recognized Peter's voice, and because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gateway. You're crazy, they tell her, but she kept insisting that it's true. Then they said, it's his angel. Peter, however, kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astounded. They were astounded. I love this. I love that there, again, he shows up and the servant is like, oh, you know, like, you're here. And she's so excited that she leaves him there and goes inside and tells everyone, he's here, you know, and they say what? You're crazy. He's not here. And she keeps insisting. So they're like, well, must be an angel, because Peter himself, that would be impossible. So they were astounded. And I think this is so funny because the church has been praying earnestly for Peter. What have you been praying for? You know, like, they're saying, no, that can't happen. That can't happen. That can't, but no, he's not there. I'm like, haven't you just been praying earnestly for days for Peter's freedom, for his release, for his justice? And yet it's happening. And they're like, No, that can't be. That can't be. You're crazy. We're insistent. That cannot be. And I think this is so wild that here we see that they've been in a prayer meeting for days asking for something impossible that as it happens, they still can't believe that it's actually happening to them, right? Guys, we don't get to see a lot about how the early church functions in the Bible. There's not a lot of scripture where we see, okay, this is how they arranged their meetings, and this is how much time they spent in worship, and this is how they preached the Bible, and this is how they prayed. You know, we don't get to see how the church was organized and their bylaws, right? We don't get the details. We don't get to see a lot of that behind the scenes. But here we have a really clear picture of how the early church functioned, what they did, that they met up and they prayed for one of their own the night before his execution, facing a death sentence. And in the midst of their praying, Peter was set free from prison, standing in front of them. Our life requires backup like this. Our life requires prayer from another person's perspective. It requires it. If you are going to walk in the calling that God has for your life, if you are going to live in freedom from generational brokenness, if you are going to live full of faith in the midst of really hard circumstances, if you're going to carry the light of the gospel, if you are going to see more than a paycheck and a dopamine hit, if you're going to live for more than that, if you're going to live for the fullness of the promises and the kingdom of God, it requires, life requires that you are surrounded by people who will pray from outside the prison cell for your release. It requires it. It requires people who are not actually in the middle of your circumstance, who will pray for your release on your behalf, for your victory, for your impossible circumstance. Your life requires this kind of backup. And this is why God put his people in a family, in a group called church. This is why? This was his design. He knew you would need it. He knew that in order to do all the things that he's called you to do, you would have backup like this, that if you were going to live out the possibility of God on this earth, it requires backup. If you're going to stay afloat in the storms of life, your life requires backup. If you're going to stay full of faith until the end, you need someone who will pray the impossible breakthrough and release for you on your behalf. This is church. This is church, guys. This is what it was meant to be. We must have people who can see and pray for what we can't see in our dark night. We have to have people that will pray for us. We have to have people who are able to ask for what we have stopped asking for. We have to have people praying for things that if they happened, no one would ever believe, right? That we would be astounded, and they would be astounded too if God actually answered that prayer that we're praying, that we're putting on our lips. Praying for things that as they happen, people would say, "You're crazy. You're crazy." Yes. It was crazy that Peter was standing in front of them. That is the truth. Right? The same king that has arrested Peter, we know the facts, the same king has already killed, he's proven that he will take the life of a follower of Jesus. That was real. But they prayed anyways, guys. The church prayed anyways. They're fresh off that painful loss. They are. And right after the disappointment, you would think that they wouldn't be really strong to pray for the same situation for another one of their friends. But they pray anyways. This church prays on his behalf for the impossible anyways. And what I love about this story is we see that Peter's eyeballs had grown heavy, right? All he could see, he was probably tired of just looking at the chains and the guards and the prison walls that he was stuck behind. And so he did what our humanity does. He did. He closed his eyes in sleep because he couldn't see beyond the facts of his circumstance. He couldn't see any other way out. So his eyeballs were on break. They were on break. But here's the truth. There were other eyeballs on his circumstance, right? A whole church's set of eyeballs on his situation. And listen, guys, we need another set of eyeballs on our circumstance. We do. We get lost in the facts. All we can see is the history behind us. It's always been that way. All we can see are the numbers on the balance sheet. All we can see is the doctor's report. All we can see is or hear is that person's voice and what they have said over us or the wrong that they have done to us. We are surrounded by information from this world. We are. We're surrounded by facts from our circumstances. But we need the church that will back us up from a different perspective, from a different view. So Peter walks out. And he walks out not on his own strength. He doesn't walk out because he had the faith for it, does he, church? He doesn't walk out because he was smart. He doesn't walk out because he was gifted or because he was like so creative or wise. He walks out because the church stayed in prayer for him. Because he had given himself to a group of believers who knew how to pick up their weapons and fight for him. He had shown up. He was part of a community that would stay alert in prayer on his behalf. He walks out because he was part of a church. So where in your life are you experiencing a chained down, a heavily guarded prison cell, maybe no way out situation? Where are you experiencing that? We all are. Where are you not sure? I don't know how to find my way out. I don't know how to get to the next season, the next chapter. I don't know. All I can see is this. I'm trapped by the way this person did me wrong. I'm trapped by this relationship. I'm trapped by this financial burden that isn't budging. Where do you need another set of eyeballs on your circumstance, on your situation? You need the praying church. You need the praying church that can bring in a fresh faith perspective on what you have been looking at and looking at and looking at, right? You need the praying church that releases chains in your life. And God has provided this, guys, through a group called the church. Your breakthrough is provided for. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to find yourself that you actually fit into both sides of this story in this life, right? There are going to be times where you're in the prayer gathering, praying for someone else's release and their victory and the breakthrough. And you're going to find yourself in the prison cell on the night before your execution with no way out. No way out. And there are times where you are sleeping under the weight of those chains and you can't ask any longer. And there are times where you are watching and praying through the night for someone else's impossible release. This is church. This is why you give yourself to a church family. This is why you show up on a Tuesday night. This is why you show up on a Sunday morning when you would rather be at the gym or, you know, out to brunch or whatever. This is why you show up to a group of people. And as I was prepping this, I felt like the Holy Spirit interrupted me. And he just said that I needed to just say that there is someone and you are doing it alone. And God is saying it's time to bring someone in. It is time to bring someone in. You need backup. And guys, we carry a self-sufficient, independent spirit, don't we? We do. And God is saying, I have more for you. If you're going to walk free from that, you need to bring someone in. We have a group of people that meet and pray here on a Tuesday night, a group of women with Rebecca. We have a group that meets on Thursday nights with Kirsten and Umberto. We have a group of women that pray every Tuesday morning. Did you know that there is a prayer box, a white box in the back that is a prayer box that if you put a prayer request, right, Karen, they will pray for your prayer request. Like, it's mind-boggling to me. I just think we haven't really used it. I haven't used it. Like, why don't we have that thing where you can't shove papers in there anymore? It's overflowing because people will pray our backup in. We have a group of people that meet midweek every week, and they pray for freedom, for breakthrough, for people that have strongholds. Aaron and Matt and Jim and Mariah and Ryan, they pray every week for people's freedom and release and breakthrough. They've been doing it for a while now, taking territory back from the enemy. We have a group of people. When I look at what's happening, the activity in our church, and I look a big view, and I say, what is God saying? He is saying, my church overcomes through the backup of prayer. That's what he's saying to us in this season. And so are we using it? Are we joining in to, oh, that's available for me? I know that I've been asleep here and not really pressing in for it, but I'm going to actually bring the backup in that God is offering. Okay, so Sometimes we need another set of eyeballs on our circumstance, that backup from eyeballs. And sometimes we need another set of vocal cords for our backup from our circumstance, okay? Eyeballs and vocal cords. Let me give you our second biblical story on the power of backup. And this is Luke 1. And this is the story that we know so well of Mary, when the angel Gabriel visits her and he gives her this angelic birth announcement. And he's like, Mary, I know that you're in the middle of wedding planning. It is wedding planning season, but we're going to put a pause on that. And we're actually going to plan a baby shower instead. We're going to do things out of order here. And you're going to be pregnant. And you're going to be pregnant. And he gives her all these details, this promise. You're going to be pregnant with this son. He's going to be the Holy One, the Son of God. It's going to be all through the power of the Holy Spirit that this is going to happen. And he is like dropping a wild promise on her, right? Like unfathomable promise on her in this moment. But he says, listen, if you need some proof that this is possible, well, we have some proof for you, because your cousin, Elizabeth, who is now too old and has been unable to conceive. She's always been at the baby shower, but never unwrapping the gifts at the baby shower. Well, guess what? She actually is already in her 6th month. She's actually pregnant too. So Mary hears this birth announcement, and her response, I love her response. It's just like, okay, what, you know, it's like, I'm the Lord's, whatever you say. I think we have the scripture. She basically is just saying like, let it be. Okay, and I kind of picture it like, whatever you say. Like, she can't, there's no excitement. It's not like, wow, this is going to happen. I can't believe it. And she's not like mining for details from the angel, right? She's just very much like, okay, if that's what you say. And so the promise is just so, so, so wild. And I think that Mary, in this moment, it must have been this like internal uproar. Because here's what we know. It says that she hurries off to visit her cousin Elizabeth. I think she was like, I need someone to make sense of this and make sense of it now. And so I'm going to the other person named in this accomplice in this story. I'm going to Elizabeth. She just needed some help. Like, God, someone needs to make sense of what you have just told me. So she's in this rush to get settled, this internal uproar settled. And she meets Elizabeth, and it says this. It says that she greets Elizabeth. And as she greets Elizabeth, this like, hey, Elizabeth, right? All of a sudden, you know what happens? This baby inside Elizabeth leaps. And this is John the Baptist, right? We know this is John the Baptist. The baby inside of her leaps. And out of her mouth, she starts confirming everything that the angel had just told Mary. All those promises, she just starts confirming it. It's like all of these you are statements. You are blessed. Your child will be blessed. You're the mother of my Lord. You're blessed because you believe what God spoke to you, right? She is speaking something that she has no way of knowing. Mary is, the assumption is Mary's playing by the rules, right? She's a virgin. She's playing by the rules. So why would you start speaking about Mary being pregnant? She's not married yet, right? Like, so she's prophesying. She's speaking because the Holy Spirit comes on her. And Elizabeth's whole body responds. And out of her mouth was exactly what Mary needed to hear. She needed someone to like make sense, to confirm, to like help ground her in the truth of what God has said will be in her life. She's like right there. She's like able to then wrap her mind around it. Yes, God is doing what he said he was going to do in my life. Listen, if you are going to believe the things that God has spoken over your life, you are going to need some backup. You are going to need someone to come alongside and confirm and say, no, God has said this about you. No, God is able to make you an overcomer. No, God is able to overcome that issue in your life. No, you are one who carries authority. No, you are one who brings strength to people around you. You are going to need that backup. If you're going to carry the promises of God to the end, guys, if I truly believe this with like everything in me, if we are going to live into the abundant life that Jesus died for and gave to us and put in our account, we are going to need some outside vocal cords that will confirm that God's going to do that thing. We will. it's a little bit too much to understand without some outside confirmation, just like Mary is experiencing in this story. You need someone else's voice to remind you of what you thought you heard God say in the worship set last week, right? You're going to need that on a Wednesday if you're going to live in the hope of eternity in these dark days, because we are bombarded, aren't we? We are bombarded. If we're going to live for a kingdom that's not visible, we need some confirmation from someone else's vocal cords. You're going to need some backup. My Mary was an Elizabeth once. You guys know I have a twin sister named Mary, I would say, you know, we all kind of have like a main lie that we kind of fight through in life. I have a main lie that my life doesn't matter, that my fight is for significance. My fight is for like doing something that matters, doing something that's important. And so I tend to be very negative in my mind. Like I have this background noise. I call it like the soundtrack of my life, right? My soundtrack of my life is very negative about myself. And I run kind of in the lane of discouragement. Just always kind of having that in the background, but then not always having the evidence in the natural world to counter that. I'm always looking for like affirmation of like comfort of significance or that I matter. And when I go through seasons without that, I can really spiral into some like negative self-talk. And I was going through one of those seasons. And not that I had told anyone, I hadn't told Mary about it or anything. And I was talking to her one morning. I remember specifically, I was running. We talk a lot on our runs in the morning. I was running on the Palatine bike trail and I called, we were just talking. And Mary said, I had a dream about you last night. And she starts telling me this dream that she had. And in the dream, she and I were together and I had taken her, we pulled aside and we were looking at a bush and she said it was like a really unusual looking bush. It was real viney and branchy and it was kind of low to the ground. And we were looking at this bush and I was pushing the leaves aside. And when you push the leaves aside, she said it was just covered in fruit. And the fruit was like really ripe and it was really heavy and the branches were hanging low to the ground under the weight of the fruit. And it was super unique looking. And she said, I picked a fruit and we were eating it. And she said, it was kind of like a pear or a peach. It was really juicy. It was really ripe. And she was like, what kind of fruit is this? And I said, oh, it's a molly fruit. It's a molly fruit. And again, like you push the branches back and it was tons of fruit. And in that moment, God spoke this confirmation straight into my soul about my life and about what my life looks like from his perspective and that it's full of fruit and it's a unique fruit and it's a ripe fruit and there's lots there, you know, beneath the leaves. And she's telling me this and I am sobbing. I'm running. Yep. Can still run and sob, people. I'm running and sobbing. I can't even get words out. I'm praying that someone doesn't come around, dog walker, doesn't come around the corner because I have to tell them, God just spoke right into my heart and God just affirmed my life and there's molly fruit and you want to try a molly fruit, you know, like I'm just praying that I don't have to go into all of that with the dog walker and I'm crying and I just needed in that moment, I needed some confirmation. And actually, I continue to feed off that confirmation as life goes on. But Mary was able to put vocal cords to something I couldn't see with my natural eyes. She was able to give me a different perspective. Just like Mary, the mother of Jesus, needed Elizabeth, I needed insight. I needed her voice to produce a hope-filled sound in my life. I couldn't manufacture it on my own. I couldn't come up with it on my own. I couldn't see what God sees for my life on my own without it. I didn't have the faith for the promises in that moment for what was ahead. I needed her voice to confirm God's work. I needed her backup. This is church. This is church. And so I'm wondering, will you ask God, God, will you let me be the voice of backup in someone's life? Will you let me be sensitive enough, like Elizabeth was, to respond to the internal need of people around me without having all the facts, without knowing the whole story? Will you allow me to move with your spirit to confirm what people need, to settle the internal uproar that they might be experiencing in their own life? Will you let me be the one that will carry the dream that someone needs in the bike trail moment, to bring courage, to bring faith, to bring the, yes, I'm in for the next chapter? Will you let me be the backup that someone needs to call up the dawn in someone else's dark night? How many texts and conversations and coffees do you have in a week? How many opportunities might you have? If you are looking, I promise you, there are more opportunities than you think. I was looking at it with the lens this week, and I saw, like, in one morning, it was like, bam, bam, bam. Like, there they are, right? Because I had eyes to see it. So here's what I want you to do. You have two pieces of paper, right? Get out your two pieces of paper. There should be a pen in front of you. Here's what you're going to do. On one of those cards, I want you to write the name of someone in your life that needs breakthrough. This is your Peter, okay? This is someone that needs some freedom, that needs release from something. It might not be as drastic as like they're facing execution tomorrow. That's fine. That's fine. Someone who just needs help, guys. Someone who needs some rescue, some freedom, some breakthrough. So put their name on the first paper. Right now, put their name. Who needs break? Don't write the facts. Don't write anything. It's just their name, right? Got it? Just their name. Mark or Rhoda. All our Rhodas. Okay. Before we leave today, you are going to give that card to someone else in this room, to the church. You're going to give them that card. So you don't have to know the person. You don't have to know their name. You can just be like, oh, Molly has sweet eyes. I'm going to give it to her, right? Just hand that card to someone in church. You are going to be back up this week for that person. You're going to pray for a breakthrough. You're going to pray for impossible. Again, you don't have to get the information about the situation. You're just going to pray heaven's perspective over that person. You're just going to pray release over them. You're just going to pray for something impossible that only God could do, that if you found out about it, you'd be like, you're crazy. Okay. That's what we're going to go into that praying with that one. Okay. Second one, I want you to think of someone who needs your voice, your Elizabeth voice in their life right now. And I want you to put their name on that card. Someone that just might be carrying some internal uproar. Someone who just needs, maybe they're fighting some discouragement. Maybe they just need a little bit of hope. Maybe they need to be reminded about the promises of God. Think about it. Put their name on that card. That card is going to go with you. And you're going to pray and ask God, give it to me. Let me respond. Give me the dream. Give me the word. Give me the confirmation. We're not going to overthink it, okay? We're not going to overthink it, because what happens is we just are the delivery person and God does the work with it, all right? So you have two cards. One is a Peter. You're going to give that to someone. Don't be afraid. We're a very friendly church. Don't be like, this person's going to reject it. No, you're going to accept it and be like, yes, I'm back up this week. And then the other one goes with you and you're going to pray for breakthrough. You're going to pray for confirmation for that person yourself. You will need backup in this life. You will need it. Someone in this room needs the backup. Let's do this for each other, church. Let's celebrate our own release and be astounded by the breakthrough of others. Let's carry each other's breakthroughs and dreams and impossible victories together, because this is church. Let's stand up. I'm going to pray over you.